deals with from time to time, and it usually starts out a little bit similar every time that she has it. And she woke this morning, and that was the beginning of the symptoms. And it's nothing contagious by any means. And it'll usually knock her down about 4 or 5 days. So we're praying that that won't be the case. We have had to travel when that was the case. It's a where she is vomits for about 18 to 20 hours, and then she sleeps about 3 days. So we're praying that that won't happen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. Beginning in verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Very familiar passage of Scripture. Pardon me. The Lord, given what we call Sermon on the Mount. And I guess if there's any verse, I would say probably quoted by society more than even John 3:16 would be verse number 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Matter of fact, I would imagine probably the most vilest of people know that verse. And it's in the Word of God. We just read it. Well, let me just say this before we get into our thought this morning, that judgment is necessary. You must judge. Matter of fact, you judged yourself this morning when you looked in the mirror. Am I fit to go out looking this way? You judge yourself, and you have to judge. Matter of fact, you'll find, number one, judgment is necessary in our courts. The Word of God tells that. Titus 3, 1 and 2. Hebrews 13, verse 17. 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through verse 15. Our courts have to have judgment. You can't have a society without law and order. And you have to bring the offenders or the supposed offenders into a place of judgment. And by the law of the land, they are to be judged whether they are found innocent or guilty, whether they have breached the law or whether they have stayed within the boundaries of the law. The Word of God teaches that judgments are necessary and judging is necessary for our courts. Then judgment is necessary for our churches. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 16 and 17, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 and verse 14, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 10, our churches must have judgment. You had a parade last night. The town had a parade last night. Now, if there would have been one of our honorable members out there at that parade, stone drunk, stumbling, passing out tracts, let me invite you to Bible Baptist Church. Well, we couldn't allow that. Not because it's an embarrassment, but it's contrary to the Word of God. It's against Scripture. And we cannot allow that type of behavior to be associated with our church. Not because we're above society, not because we think we're better than society, but the simple fact that person that aligns up with the church has not aligned up with the Scriptures. So through Scripture, we exercise judgment, not because the preacher don't like his personality or because the deacon don't like their family. It's all according to the Word of God. There must be judgment in our churches. You can't just let anybody join the church, live in any kind of way they want to, because that's contrary to the Word of God. So there has to be judgment in our churches. There has to be judgment in our courts. And there must be judgment in our conduct. We have to judge the way we live. In Matthew 7, 15, 16, Romans 16, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, 1 John 4, and verse 1. Judgment is necessary for our conduct. We have to judge the way we act, the way we live. Of course, in order to have judgment, there must be a banner standard. There has to be something that we relate to that is, we judge our conduct based upon a standard. That standard's the Word of God. We don't base our conduct and judge our conduct based on other men's behavior. The Word of God says this, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So I don't look at this fellow over here and say, well, I tell you, I'm not near as bad as he is, so I'm all right. Well, you're always going to find somebody worse than you are. Won't you look for the one that you think's better than you? That's not our nature, is it? That's why we have to have a standard, and that standard is the Word of God. We base our conduct, whether it be good or bad, not on society, not on what's prevalent in our culture today, but it's based on the Word of God. How does the Word of God say I should live? We're in Matthew chapter number 7. So he says, judge not. Then he goes on and he says, I kind of call it a humorous illustration, parable, here about the man that had a mote in his eye, and he was looking at the brother, as he is called, in verse number 4 and verse number 3. He's looked at as a brother. He says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thine eye, or thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So if judgment is right, then the Lord continues on with this illustration. Let me just say before I go that far, it's evident that judgment is right. In verse number 6, give not that which is holy unto dogs. Well, he's judging there, isn't he? Saying these people are not what they ought to be. Verse number 15, beware of false prophets. How can you call someone a false prophet if you're not judging? And you're judging again by the Word of God. So if he is not talking about judgment, he's talking what I would call fault finding. Fault finding. The folly of fault finding. What's wrong with finding fault? And that's exactly what he's talking about in these verses. Let me give you three things. Number one, he inquires the inquiry made on examination. The inquiry on examination. Our key word in verse number 3, and why? And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Notice three things about this examination this individual is doing. Number one, he's taken a long consideration. Why beholdest thou? In other words, this individual is fixated on it. His brother has a mote. A mote is something very small, the equivalent of sawdust. Sawdust is very, very small. And this individual that the Lord is talking about, he's fixated on that small little mote in his brother's eye. That's all he thinks about. When he sees this individual over here, he don't see any of his good qualities. He just constantly prays on that one mote. He may have a good voice, he may have a good personality, but he has one little mote, and that's all that person wants to talk about. They're just fixated on it. Just beholdest. You follow that word behold or beholdest, and it's throughout the Scripture. It's behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. In other words, it is indicating a consideration, a concentration, a long, just steady look at it. And this individual, they are constantly looking at this mote. Why beholdest thou? And then he says, why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not? Not only the long concentration, but the lack of consideration. You don't even look at the beam in your eye. The beam. Mote and beam. That's polar opposites. Beam is, I'm sure you have beams beyond that, what we can see. Big, long beams. I don't know, I would imagine. Might even be metal beams. I mean, they're huge. Can you see this fellow walking around with a beam stuck out of his eye? And he don't even want anybody to look at that. Look at that brother's mote. I don't see a mote. Well, you really got to look. It's in there. Trust me, I've been looking at it a long time. He don't even consider the beam in his own eye. He don't even look in the mirror. You know, there's a Bible illustration about that. I hate to bring it up because I really admire this man, and I don't believe it defrauds him from being admired. But David, you remember when David sinned with Bathsheba and God sent the preacher, Nathan the prophet? And Nathan, he doesn't go to David and just tell him exactly what happened. God's going to get you. He gave him a story, a parable. He said, King, there's a rich man that had a lot of flocks. He had a lot of herds. I mean, he had them stretched from here to California, if you will. But his neighbor was a poor fella, and all he had was one little lamb. And he loved that lamb. He slept with that lamb. He ate with that lamb. But this rich man had people come over there to eat with him, and instead of him going out to his vast herds, he goes out there, and he gets that poor little lamb of that neighbor friend that loved it. And he kills it and eats it. And David was in a rage. He said, I want that man killed. Get him. That's an awful thing. And Nathan said that famous phrase, thou art the man. You see, what David was so enraged about was someone killing a lamb. But he wasn't even affected by him killing a soldier, stealing a woman's husband, letting the enemy of God kill one of God's soldiers. He was beholding the mote, if you will, and not even considering the beam. Isn't that often in our life, don't we? We have issues in our life where we just ignore, but we magnify others' problems. That's what he's talking about. Why? The inquiry on examination. Then notice secondly, there's a major miscalculation in verse 4. Our key word in that verse is how. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is thine own eye. He said, how in the world are you going to do this? Notice three things about it. Notice he indicates that his proficiency is unfit. This person that's wanting to pull out the mote, he's not qualified. How wilt thou say? How are you going to be able to pull out the mote when you have a beam? You don't have the ability to do that. You don't have the qualifications to do that. You're inept. You're unqualified. Your proficiency is unfit. You're putting yourself in a higher position than you have. You're going around elevating yourself, saying, I'm not near as bad as that moted-eyed brother. And you're not even looking in the mirror saying the beam. Your proficiency is unfit. You're not qualified. There's a lot of people like that. They want to tell you how to do things, but they're not qualified. They want to tell you how to... I remember you know, I remember I knew how to raise children. I knew exactly what you were supposed to do. I wasn't even married yet, and I was gifted with this ability. I mean, I just knew how my brother was wrong. You need to do this. But all of a sudden, when I had children, it would become a whole different story, isn't it? And God kind of lets you look in the mirror sometimes, realize you're not as good as you think you are. I believe that's what he was saying, thinking when he said, "Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall." Here this beam-eyed brother was going around telling everybody exactly how he was going to perform this procedure to get the mote out of his moted-eyed brother. And the Lord said, "How in the world you think you're going to do that? How do you do? Think you? How can you even say that? How wilt thou say? How in the world can you even say such a thing? Your proficiency is unfit." Well, that would be like me trying to tell you how to build a rocket ship. You don't have the proficiency. Not only is his proficiency unfit, but his procedure is unsafe. "How wilt thou pull out?" Let me pull out the mote. Let me pull out the mote. I can do it. You know, one of the most tender part of your bodies is your eye. You can't even, it's instinctively when you go to touch it, it wants to close. I read an article the other day about a woman had 20 contact lenses in her eye. She'd been wondering where they went. Cost her a lot of money to find them. Your eye is very tender. And if you're not cautious, you can mess some things up. Very tender spot. But this brother says, "I tell you what, I've got this beam here. I've made adjustments. I can turn my head just right and I can see that moat. And I'll get in there and I'll dig it out. I'll get it. I'll get it for you. Don't worry. I'll pull it out." He don't care who he hurts. He just wants that moat out. He'll reach in his pocket. And he'll pull out his pocket knife. And he'll say, "No, now be still." And he's got his beam over here adjusted. And he's gazing out of one eye. I'll pull it out. His procedure is unsafe. His proficiency is unfit. And notice his problem is unchecked. "How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye." I want you to notice that word "behold" is there. Verse number 3, "Why beholdest..." And this, verse number 4, "Behold, a beam is yourn." You know what the Lord's indicating there? You're beholding something, but you've not even beheld what's in your eye. You are so busy looking at this mote, you've not even noticed the beam. How is that possible? How is that possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. Pride. Pride is a big component of that. Defiance. Just defying the fact, "Oh, that's not really a beam. I was just born that way. My daddy had one too. Come from my daddy's people. It's not really a beam. It looks like one, but it's not." And the Lord kind of says, "Hey, buddy, look in the mirror. You do have something wrong. Behold, there's a beam in your eye." I believe it was, I forget, I don't want to call who it was because I can't remember. But I heard him talking about a fellow he used to work with. He said he was always combing his hair. He said, but it was obvious he never combed the back. He said, when you look at the back of that guy's head, it was everywhere. But boy, he thought he looked good. He never had a mirror to look where he could look in the back. And I think there's a lot of similarities in this beam-eyed brother. He's never really even looked in the mirror. His problem's unchecked. So verse number 5, not only we see the inquiry on examination, the lack of, or rather a major miscalculation, but notice verse number 5, what I would call a road, or the road to restoration. How can you fix this problem? Our key word in that verse is the word first. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Number one, I want you to notice here, you have to face yourself. Thou hypocrite. See, this beam-eyed brother thought he was much better than his moted-eyed brother. But when he looked at himself, the Lord says, you're just a hypocrite. Because you're focused on this guy's problem as if you don't have one. You're fixated on his mote as if you don't have any issue at all. You have to face yourself. You are a hypocrite. It's amazing about us humans. We want the mechanic to be honest. And they have a reputation of not being honest. Some do. We want the doctor to be honest. We want the lawyer to be honest. We want our spouses to be honest. We train our children to be honest. But we're not honest with ourselves, and we don't necessarily want the preacher to be honest. Prophesy unto me what? Smooth things. In the last days they will heap upon themselves teachers having itching ears. Don't want that preacher to be honest. And the reason I think we want everything else to be honest is because that will help our life. Our car runs better. Our health is better. We don't have to really do the work. We don't have to do no changing. Maybe the doctor we have to change. And that's another amazing thing. People, they say, well, I went into the heart doctor and he said I have to change my diet. There's a lot of things I'd rather change than my diet. A lot of things. And we'll go along with what the doctor says. Or we won't, but we'll be honest. We'll say, well, the doctor said I should. Ain't nothing wrong with what he said. So the wrong's on me. But when it comes to the Word of God and our lives, we don't want necessarily that being honest. And the Word of God says you're a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. The Word of God says it's hypocritical for us to go around and look at others' faults and not look at our own. Face yourself. Secondly, I kind of hinted on this, is fix the problem. What does he say? Cast out the beam. Cast out the beam. Stop making compensations for it. Stop making excuses for it. Stop ignoring it and fix the problem. There's no doubt the moted eye brother has some issues, but you have an issue as well. He says, you need to cast out that beam. Don't live with it. Whether it be sin, whether it be something that is an omission or something that is in our life that is hindering us, he says we need to cast it out. And stop comparing yourselves to others, he says, and cast out the beam. And then lastly, he says, and then thou shalt see clearly. Cast out the beam out of thine eye, and then thou shalt see clearly. Focus on the Lord, I'd say. thou shalt see clearly. There's again that word see, same thing that we find in behold and beholdest. This fellow hadn't been seeing clearly. He's been seeing distortedly. His vision's been impaired. He said, if you want to get your 20/20 vision back, get the beam out of your eye. It's not going to help your vision if the mote's going out of his eye. You're still going to be blurred vision. We could get rid of all the motes in the brother's eyes, but it won't help you. You see, what he realizes is, once the beam's out of his eye and he sees clearly about himself, he sees clearly what he used to be, you know what he's going to realize? That mote in that brother's eye ain't that bad after all. Good night, look at my big old beam I got out. Man, I thought this brother was bad. Look at what I had. I didn't realize how bad I really was. I was going around, hey, you see brother so-and-so's moat? You see sister so-and-so's moat? Nobody had the courage to say, but your beam died. He said, but when I got that beam out of my eye, that fault finding, that attitude of I'm better than everybody else, or I'm better than my moated eyed brother, when I got that out, I saw, hey, man, I'm a lot worse than that brother is. You see, the truth of the matter is, there's not but one that's faultless. The Word of God says this about him. Pilate looked at the Lord and said, I find no what? No fault in him. The truth of it is, this morning, we're all moated-eyed. We're all sometimes beamed-eyed. We have our high beams on. So we really have no ground to stand on when it comes to fault finding in others. Looking for that mote. We have no business at all. We have no grounds to stand on. What we need to do is get on our knees and say, Lord, I know brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they have these issues in their life. And they're magnified in my eyes and they can't see them. But Lord, I have issues in my life that I'm not seeing. I have problems in my life that I'm not even aware of. And I'm not asking you this morning or today to help that brother get the mote out of his eye. I'm asking you to reveal that beam in my eye so I can get it out of my own eye. And you know, when we approach it with that mentality, we'll see clearly, and those motes in others' eyes won't even be our focus. You know, that's a problem in a lot of marriages. That's a problem in a lot of homes. That's a problem in a lot of churches. People are focused on motes in others' eyes. But do you remember what you said to me? Not even thinking about what they've said to the others. Yeah, but they didn't do me this way, and they didn't treat me right that way. Not even thinking about how they treated others. If we could get this fault finding fixed, it sure would help about every avenue of our life. And the Lord says, cast out the beam, and then thou shalt see clearly. I sure want to see clearly. When I see clearly, you know who I see? I'll see the Lord. And I say, Lord, I don't deserve what you've given me. Lord, I'm very far short of what I should be. And help me. And when we're focused on the Lord, we won't have time to be looking at everybody else's issues. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're grateful for your people. And I pray you help our hearts to be in an attitude of worship this morning, that you'll speak to our hearts. If there is one that comes into our midst that's unsaved, I pray you'd help them. I pray you'd encourage your people that's discouraged. Help those that are dealing with physical issues and other situations. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.